Just a couple weeks ago, we read a passage from Luke where Jesus was quoted as saying, "Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division." And now today, we hear Jesus saying, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple." What's up with this Jesus? Again, we tend to react wondering where our soft and tender, our loving and welcoming Jesus went. Again, we tend to wonder if Luke isn't just misquoting him. Again, we tend to question if this Jesus is somebody we want to be associated with. After all, who wants to hang out with someone who is constantly causing strife, who is encouraging division and hate? But instead of either dismissing this text or dismissing Jesus, let's dive into this text and see what we can learn. Let's even discover things that we might hear differently than those around Jesus would have. So perhaps the place we need to begin is with that word that the NRSV, the NIV, and the King James Version all translate as hate. I don't know about you, but when I hear the word hate, I hear my grandmother's voice telling me in no uncertain terms that we don't use that word, that it is hurtful and vicious and inappropriate. Hate, a word that the Oxford Dictionary defines as to feel intense or passionate dislike. That's the feeling that my grandmother responded to when she gave me that lecture, which, by the way, I might have earned. It's the toxic feeling that all too often leads to hurtful actions and behaviors. And yet that translation doesn't really capture what the original language meant. Jesus wasn't telling people that following him was about feeling an intense and passionate dislike for others. But rather, if we really look at the text, Jesus was talking about priorities. When looking at other translations of the Bible, the ones that really represent this best are ones like the Contemporary English Version, which reads, "You cannot be my disciple unless you love me more than you love your mother and father, your wife and children, your brothers and sisters." Or the Message, which says, "Anyone who comes to me but refuses to let go of father, mother, spouse, children, brothers, sisters, and yes, even one's own self can't be my disciple." And we can be honest and say that even this is difficult for most of us to imagine. We don't need the word hate for this to be a challenging text. In Bible study a couple weeks ago, we had an honest conversation about this with people admitting that if Jesus walked in the room and said that in order to follow him, we had to leave our families, many of us would remain in our chairs. It's simply not the experience that we've had of what faith asks. And there's some level at which we can be grateful for that. After all, we have lived in a place where being Christian is an easy choice to make. In fact, we have lived in a nation that for most of its existence has shaped itself around the worship times and holy days and practices of the Christian faith. And in so many ways, many that we can't even identify, we who call ourselves Christian have often benefited from that. And yet, there's a downside to that experience, too. And part of that downside is that it has led us to forget that our faith actually asks something of us. We have too often forgotten that following Jesus is not an easy road. We have too often forgotten that if we are fully living our faith, risk will be involved. We have too often forgotten that being a Christian asks more of us than just sitting in the pew of our choosing, at the church of our choosing, and being filled with messages of God's love and acceptance so that we can make it through another week in this old world. So even though it makes us uncomfortable, we need passages like the one Joanne read us today. Because for many Christians across time and space, their reality has been about being willing to give up the things that were most important to them, about being willing to take risks, even to give up their own lives. From the early church martyrs, killed by the empire because they spread a word that said that they should worship someone other than the emperor, to modern-day people, like my seminary classmate who fled China because of her faith to assure her own safety and freedom, even at that time leaving her daughter behind until a few years later they could be reunited. So many, many people have known the risk of living a life committed to Jesus. And it's important for us, even if that hasn't been our experience, to consider the truth of this commitment. It's important for us to ask hard questions about how committed we are, about what situations might cause us to choose something other than our God, about how much we are willing to risk in order to be Christian, and about what it really means to be Christian, not as a label, not as a sign of church membership, but as a way of life, a way that follows the model of Jesus. This summer, my family and I went to Adventureland. Maybe there are others of you who made that same trip. Like other amusement parks, along with posting height requirements, many rides also have warning signs at the entrance. The signs often read something like this: guests with the following conditions are prohibited from riding this ride. And then there's usually a list of things like heart trouble and high blood pressure, neck or back problems, pregnancy. These signs, they aren't intended to scare anyone, but they are intended to tell you the truth, that there is risk involved in choosing the ride. That's what Jesus is doing in our passage as well. See, it seems like too often we read these passages, and when they start to make us nervous and use words we don't like, we read them as if they're meant to scare people away, as if Jesus had called people to him only to tell them scary stories and push them in a different direction. And yet, if we look at this text, there are some things we must remember. I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago, that in Luke's gospel, it was back toward the end of chapter 9 when Luke told us that Jesus had set his face to go toward Jerusalem. In other words, once we get past that point, this is the part of the story where it has become clear, at very least to Luke the writer and to Jesus, that the authorities are not going to listen, that they are not going to embrace Jesus' teachings and follow him, but rather that the more and more he talks about God's wide embrace and extravagant love, the more he cares for people, even at times and in ways where it's in conflict with the letter of the law, the more his life is at risk. So Jesus knows, in ways that the people around him don't yet see, the risks they are taking even being near him. It's also important to note that while there are other places in the scripture where Jesus seeks people out, where he invites them to follow, in this story, if we pay attention, the crowds have simply gathered. Perhaps in a way that any of us might cross the street and walk down the block if we see an unexpected crowd. Perhaps the way we might stop and listen when we happen upon an interesting speaker on the Ped Mall. Jesus looks around and sees that a crowd has gathered, and he essentially says to them, "Do you know what you're here for? Are you here to observe? Are you here because you think something festive is happening? Or are you here because you are really wanting and willing to change your life and even risk it?" Friends, those same questions come to us. Are we here because it's what we've always done on Sunday morning? Are we here to check the task of going to worship off our to-do list? Are we here because the singing and praying and seeing of familiar faces bolsters us and makes us feel good? Or are we here because we're truly committed to this thing that Jesus is doing? Are we here because we really believe that God's way is a better way? Are we here because we know that above our stuff and our power and our positions and even our loved ones and our own life, living in ways that build up God's kingdom, in ways that value all people, in ways that fight for the rights of those who have been left voiceless, that it matters? Are we here because we are so committed to following Jesus, even on a difficult road? Are we here because we are ready to let the way of Jesus and the heart of God not only comfort and coddle us, but change us and help us become the brave and generous, compassionate and courageous people we are called to be? As Fred Craddock wrote, "What is demanded of disciples is that in the network of many loyalties in which we all live, the claim of Christ and the gospel not only takes precedence, but in fact redefines the others." Jesus wasn't trying to scare anyone away, but he also knew that following in his ways, in the ways of the heart of God, was not a decision to be taken lightly. And so, words that are difficult are important. Are we ready? Are we ready to not look at Jesus from a distance? To not use God for our own purposes and comforts? Are we ready to let our lives be changed and to risk things that matter to us in order to follow? Are we ready to give up the temptation of an easy road and instead choose a road that Jesus learned leads to the cross? As we consider those questions, I invite us to pray together. I invite you to respond, "Forgive us, O God, when you hear me pray, we are often tempted by an easy road." Let us pray. God, sometimes the truth is difficult. Sometimes we don't like to admit that we really want loving you to be easy. We really want following Jesus to be a walk in the park. Sometimes we don't like to admit that we want you to be there for us, but we don't really want you to ask much of us. God, we are often tempted by an easy road. Forgive us, O God. And so we ask that you would give us the courage and commitment to truly follow you. Make us willing to stand up for those who are pushed aside rather than turning the other way. Make us willing to speak out on behalf of those who are blocked out rather than just taking our place at the table. Make us willing to risk everything that we have for you. God, this is hard because we are often tempted by an easy road. Forgive us, O God. So forgive us and move us that we may be those whose lives truly reflect the life of Jesus. Amen.